The scripture reading is Psalm 112, verses 1 through 9. You can follow along with the reading on page 563 of your Pew Bible. Listen to the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. They rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice, for the righteous will never be moved. They will be remembered forever. They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have distributed freely. They have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn is exalted in honor. The word of the Lord.
This week, we begin the third quarter in our study of Brian McLaren's book, We Make the Road by Walking. And for those of you following the book, you know that during the season of Lent this year, we will be concentrating on the Sermon of the Mount. For the entire, each Sunday will be the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew. Since this is the first Sunday in Lent, I think it's appropriate to kind of set the stage and get us kind of in position for the next few weeks, excuse me, by reviewing what has happened prior to today's reading. The point of this for Matthew is to link Jesus to the Old Testament prophecy and already accept his authority. Thus far, we have been assured of the genealogy of Jesus, that he is from the lineage of David, and that Jesus was brought up in Nazareth. Jesus has been baptized, the Spirit of God is upon him, and a voice from heaven has claimed him. This is my son, the beloved. He's gone into the wilderness and been tempted by the devil. Excuse me, started his ministry in Galilee, called his first disciples, and been curing people with diseases and demoniacs. So listen now as we hear God speaking in Matthew 5, verses 1 through 16. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. In her book, Gospel Medicine, Barbara Brown Taylor reflects on the joys of childhood when she would stand on her head. Trees grew down, not up, she writes, and the sky was a blue lawn that went on forever. For as long as I could keep my balance, I could tap dance on it while birds and clouds flew under my feet. My swing set was no longer an A, but a V, and my house seemed in danger of falling off the yard, just shooting off into space like a rocket, leaving a sidewalk lined with pansies that led to nowhere. I liked standing on my head because it made me see old things in a new way. Well, we well know that many parts of the Bible are considered upside down. We hear of the first being last and all such things throughout Scripture. And this is certainly true in the Beatitudes. Jesus constantly reversed the general value system of the day. And alas, sadly, the general value system of still today. As Jesus went up the mountain, he sat down, as one did when they were getting ready to teach, and his disciples sat around him. Jesus was speaking to his disciples and those others who would choose to follow him. As Jesus articulates God's blessings, he is outlining the call to discipleship in relationship to the character that the disciples should already have. He also describes the costs in their lives as well as in God's future. Beatitudes are not new to Jesus, nor to the writer of Matthew, nor the New Testament. They are found in the Old Testament, in the wisdom and prophetic writings. The Greek word used for blessed in today's scripture is Makarios, which means blessed, by extension, fortunate, well off, happy. Makarios is not asking for something, it is confirming what already exists. The Beatitudes are certainly not practical advice for successful living. Rather, they are prophetic declarations made on the conviction of the coming and the already present kingdom of God. They are not direct calls to action. Rather, they are promises, and they are true based on the authority of the one who speaks. At this point in Matthew's gospel, Jesus has called only the first four of his disciples. As he is teaching them, he is teaching all who will follow him. And so, he is teaching us. We are expected to locate ourselves among the potential disciples, eavesdropping, as Jesus declares, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Thus, as followers of Jesus, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We know that salt was a prized preservative before there was refrigeration. It was also used in ancient sacrifice, and of course many of us use a bit too much of it today, as it still enhances the flavor of many foods. Needless to say, salt was a small thing considered of great value. To be called the salt of the earth by Jesus is something special. And anyone lost in the dark appreciates the direction given by the smallest flicker of a candle. But we are not just guided by that light. We are to guide others. The light of God is within us, and we are to live in ways that testify to the glory of God. To be called the light of the world by Jesus is, again, something special. But something special is not an award. It is not a recognition to brag about. It's not something that makes one person better than another. Rather, it is a call to mission. God has entrusted us to live God's message as disciples of Jesus Christ, to humbly love and serve with thanks and praise to God. Salt and light, such common, ordinary things which have the power to change everything with which they come in contact. There are people who make the headlines for their service and their dedication to God, and well they should. I firmly believe that we certainly need to hear a lot more of those stories these days. But there are also people who just quietly live it. In the past month, I've been touched by the number of situations I've encountered with people in this very congregation who just live it, who just do it. How uplifting it is to limit myself to three small examples. I was concerned about someone who lives alone and has been struggling lately, worried that she was slipping through the cracks, only to learn that someone from this congregation has taken it upon herself to repeatedly reach out to her, make sure her needs are being met, and know that she is not alone. Someone else has taken it upon themselves to consistently call some members who are not able to get out, who may be struggling with various issues, and who may feel that their world and their circle of friends is shrinking. This has been going on for months and months. And last week, one of our guests from SOS ended up here at church after SOS was over and gone, and one of our members, who already had to be exhausted, stayed with her and her four children for the entire day. They camped out in the youth room for the day, and he supposedly worked while caring for, supervising, and supporting them for the day. These are just three examples. No one asked these people to do anything. They are just letting their light shine brightly. These people are salt and light. They are blessed, and they are a blessing. Like basic salt and everyday life, we are called to be useful, life-giving elements in this world. And we are called to give glory to God in the process. Every thought we have, everything we do, should be in praise and thanks to our faithful God. Some of us are luckier than others in the ways of the world. We may have more money or better health, and we often confuse this with blessings from God. As understood in the Bible, happiness is the condition of being spiritually blessed. It is an inner assurance and confidence of God's love, of God's grace, and of God's enduring care. Each of us has the greatest blessing of all, the love and faithfulness of God. And that blessing is ours regardless of any trials we may be facing. In the coming week, I invite you to celebrate that blessing each and every day. Maybe you'll carry it on throughout Lent as a Lenten practice. Maybe you'll carry it on for the rest of your life as a way of life. Start each day with the affirmation, I am blessed. And then ask yourself, how will I be a blessing to someone else today? Let us pray. Loving and faithful God, we are blessed. May our lives reflect thank you. Thank you. Amen.